Good morning, Monday the 20th. Got all the sports in action today, even two Monday night NFL games. Going to get right into the NFL. So we had, yesterday's NFL. I went 3-3 in the picks. Disappointed. That was actually my most disappointing sport, which could have been the NBA, which I'll get to shortly. But NFL, I published, talked about specifically three leans. I don't normally or often put leans on the podcast. I felt good about them, but I did not play them. I guess you could say I graded on the curve on those. And while they would have been plays last week, they weren't plays this week. And that's simply because of two reasons. COVID stuff is really screwing with starting lineups and making it unpredictable. And then Vegas was due for a bounce back week. And I don't like to use due because nobody's due. But Vegas doesn't lose very often. They got beat up the previous weekend. And that was portrayed in the fact that this week's bets, I took a lot of dogs, Houston, Atlanta, New Orleans, plus the points. Two out of three of those were winners, which was nice. So I cut off favorite. I cut off public favorites is what I was doing there, is what I'm saying. Buffalo minus 14 and cut it off. Pittsburgh just to win there. Pittsburgh minus one. The under 43.5, that wasn't necessarily a public favorite. I think the money was probably on the over in that game. But I just felt I had a bad vibe on that, I guess we'll call it, and I just took it off. So anyway, it is what it is. So today's picks, there's two games. I'm skipping the Vegas-Cleveland game because talk about COVID, that's a definition of it right there, which would tend me to lean on Vegas, but I'm not a fan of Vegas right now with all their upheaval. I just don't like it. I'm not looking to necessarily fade. Well, actually, I am. I'm looking to fade Vegas when I can, and this is not a game I can fade him in, so can't. The game I can play is Minnesota and Chicago, over 45 for the total. I like that quite a bit. I'm going to make it only one unit play, but I feel pretty strong about that one. It should be 51 or something like that. Also, I am going now. I'll tell you, every way I cap this game, I have Chicago covering the 6.5, but Minnesota winning the game. Every which way, I couldn't see Minnesota winning by more than 6.5. I couldn't see them winning by a touchdown, but I also couldn't see Chicago winning this game. Every way I looked at it, just not happening. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a same game parlay. I'm going to take the Vikings to simply win the game. Money line bet parlayed with over 40.5 points. Now, obviously, 36.5 would be better. Got burned in that one, and I think it was the military game where I took, over 37.5 in the same game parlay, if I remember right, and it ended up 37. And that's just how it works sometimes. 36.5 would have been a better number, but in any event, it's too juicy on this. If you want to take Minnesota to win, then you can't get 36.5. And as I mentioned, I'm already confident in the total. I took over 45 on a standalone bet. So 41, meaning over 40.5, I have no problems. I have no fear with that one. Regarding the Minnesota money line, it's cleaner to take the winner of the game than juicing up Chicago. Because as I said, I can't see Chicago missing the spread, but so if you gave them another 6-7, well, actually, you'd want to get to at least 14 on that, and that becomes juicy as well. But certainly, I would feel comfortable in them covering that spread. It's just not price-wise wouldn't be as good, as advantageous as taking Minnesota to win. But obviously, if you're a huge backer in Chicago here, flipping around, take Chicago, then move the total down. But how I'm playing is Minnesota and over 40.5 on a same game parlay, and the game over 45 clean on its own standalone bet. Okay, so that's it for NFL. Now, college football. Old Dominion and Tulsa, that's the only one today. I'm going to have to take a pass on that one. That's, you know, once you spend too much time in a game because you can't figure it out, that's your clear sign. You know, here's your sign, Bill Engvall. Pass. Yeah, if you force me to take it, I'm just going to take the dog and the points. If you're forcing me to take a side because of getting over a touchdown, but there's a reason for that because Tulsa's a better team. I'm not betting on that game. Sorry, Vegas, I'm not giving you any money on that one. Then we moved to NBA, which should have been my most disappointing sport yesterday if it wasn't for the missed leans on the NFL. 1-4. Everything was in action. Everything was live and just bounced the wrong way. The only winner was a clear winner. Phoenix was up by 20 some points in the first quarter, after the first quarter, and then they just coasted all the way to an easy, easy win. The other ones obviously were failures, toilet bowl money there. Philadelphia and Boston, I have a strong lean towards Boston -3, but I'm absolutely passing on that because of injuries. You've got Embiid potentially out for Philadelphia, which obviously helps Boston, but then you got Tatum potentially out for Boston. And I'm not taking Boston without Tatum. Now, if both Tatum and Embiid are out, I would be more likely to favor Boston because I think Embiid is more important to his current team, whereas Boston can survive without Tatum, although he's the man, but Embiid is what drives everything in Philly. So pass. It's either wait till the end or play it live or just skip it. The one play I do have is Houston and Chicago to go under 222.5 points. I don't see these guys being able to light it up today. They've got injury concerns and illness concerns and back-to-backs and rest concerns, energy level. It's under 222.5. That's an official play. Next, we go over to college hoops. I've got one play that looks good to me. And this is the St. Thomas Tommies, their first year in Division I, playing Nebraska-Omaha. Again, obviously not University of Nebraska out of Lincoln, but Nebraska-Omaha. And I'm going to take the Tommies, -3.5 points. It was open at 1.5. It's up to 3.5 now, and that's for good reason. St. Thomas can shoot the lights out. They hit everything. I don't know, apparently up there in Minnesota, they must be having a lot of indoor arenas for the cold weather, and they just sit around and shoot all winter because these guys can knock down the ball. All right, so St. Thomas Tommies -3.5. Then we'll move over to hockey. Oh, geez, guess what? 3-0 yesterday. Is that news? No. Like I said, melting ice. It's just hot. That'll end at some point, and there's been a couple bad days mixed in, but it just keeps bouncing right back. Win, 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 win. You know, what was it? 4-1 the day before that. 3-0 yesterday. There's only one game today, though. There's only two, and then in the middle of analyzing, Columbus and Buffalo went away. So it's Minnesota and Dallas. Now, in the NHL, they've already determined until after Christmas, or is it after the New Year? Well, it's a while. There won't be any cross-border games, none. There will be, Canada will play Canada teams and the United States teams will play United States teams, and that's how that'll be for immediate future anyway, till after the holidays. So again, I can't remember if that's Christmas or New Year's, but for a while. And of course, they're discussing about the Olympics because they were going to take a break to let the players go over to China and play. But it sounds like the players' union says that's probably not in our best interest. And I think the players themselves would probably not rather be quarantined in China or something. So looks like they'll be able to make up these missed and postponed games by taking advantage of that window that would have been shut down for Olympics. And that's great. I mean, let the amateurs play it. They'll have fun over in China. Over in China having fun. Okay. So Minnesota and Dallas. Now, well, this was a tough one. Again, so eventually the same rule came implied. If you can't figure out which way to go, you can skip it. But it got a little easier. So I did lean on the over 5.5. I'm not taking that. Because as I went farther and deeper into it, it seemed like Dallas might win this game. And the only way for them to win this game probably is to be a little bit lower scoring than the 5.5. I think it's going to be a 5-goal game. And that could be Dallas in overtime, 3-2. I think if they do win 3-2, it's overtime for Dallas. Meanwhile, Minnesota has the potential to win 4-2 or 4-1 or 6-2, something like that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a same-game parlay on this. Again, as I've mentioned, NFL and hockey are the two sports that the most advantageous way to use same-game parlays. So Minnesota +1.5. So Minnesota plus the 1.5, because I do think that if Dallas wins, and there's a strong possibility they do, it will not be by any margin. It will be by a squeaker, potentially overtime or shootout, whereas Minnesota has a chance to actually win with some margin. But again, Minnesota can win or lose by a goal, and you win that half of it. And I'm going to take it over 4.5, because again, I was struggling a little bit with getting the 6. I was leaning towards over 5.5, struggling to get there, so I passed. But I think 5 is the end result, and it, you know, obviously I feel strong enough about that to parlay in with this Minnesota plus 1.5. Now I'm paying a little juice. I don't recall paying minus 130 on a same game parlay in the past. I try to get it same as a, you know, I try to get it almost a push, maybe even plus money if I can. And then, you know, the last couple games, I see a plus 115. No, there was one at minus 145. Yep, and that one won. That was Pittsburgh and Buffalo. So I've done worse, I guess, for juice. But anyway, so Minnesota plus 1.5, over 4.5 for the game at minus 130. Like it for a full unit. I'm going to throw a few props on the chart here. It's able to spend more time on one game to analyze it. So you got Dallas. You got Jason Robertson with Dallas. I give him a very high possibility of getting a point, so a goal or assist. As a matter of fact, I look at it 70 to 75% chance of getting a point. So obviously, just like anything, there's no guarantees in life or hockey. So I think the proper price on this should be minus 233 to minus 300 for the odds I'm giving him. I'm giving him 70 to 75% chance of scoring a point, which equates to minus 233 to minus 300. But I'm getting that at minus 145, so I signed myself up for that one. Jason Robertson for any point at minus 145. Then we move on to the Minnesota side. I got two bets that made sense. So Kaprizov, Kirill Kaprizov of Minnesota, to have an assist. Now, I'm giving this only a 55% chance, which is obviously a weighted coin in our favor, 55%. That does mean that 9 out of 20 games he will not have an assist, and 11 out of 20 he will. So but this is by no means slam dunk, but since they're giving me a plus 138 and the weighted coin is in my favor, I'm sold on that one, so bought and sold. And then same man, Kaprizov, to get over 2.5 shots on goal. So what I'm saying is he's going to be active in the game, and that's portrayed in the fact that it looks like Hartman's out. And he's got, again, a 70 to 75% chance of having 3 or more shots on goal, and he's at minus 144. So essentially the same situation where he's way undervalued on that. So sold on that one as well. And just for the record, on his last games here, 3-6-3-3-4-5-1-3-5-6-4. So he's only missed getting 3 shots on goal once in his last, what was that, 10 or 11 that he gave out? 11, it looks like. 11. Only one. I can go back further. Let's just see. 3-2-2-6-2-3-6-3. Yeah, so behind that, he had some misses. But as far as near-term performance, which is obviously should be weighted higher, he's only missed once. And then he's made it well over there with margins. He's got a 6-4-5, 5-6-4, including the last 3 games. So, you know, he's solid to get that. His previous year, he was 2.85 goals for the whole season. And then he was also in a new team situation. So that changes the usage. And this year he's averaging 3.52 goals or shots on goal. So he's a full shot on goal over his bet today for this season. And his average prior to this would be 2.85. And then, again, some new team changes where the usage can go up as well. So I like his history. I like this year's performance. I like his recent performance, giving him, as I said, 70 to 75% chance of getting that, which should be priced at least 100 points higher than that, or at least 83 points higher than that. So I'll take it at minus 144. Now, full disclosure, while the props had started out red hot, started giving a few out on the podcast, had some up days, some down days, I have not been giving them out in the podcast because they've been underperforming, dragging down my hockey performance as a whole, which now is actually for just December, even though it's been hot. And again, I'll explain, I'm up 7.55 units, but that's including about 10 points down on props, 10 units down on props. So I've been getting my butt kicked on props, ruining a otherwise unreal run in hockey side. So I want to disclose that, and you've heard the numbers I'm throwing out there. I'm using significant stats to, long-term career performance, short-term career performance, this season performance, change in usage rates. I'm factoring all that in. I'm apparently just bad luck on these props right now after a hot start. So take that into consideration. But I'm doing a half unit on all three of those bets, just for the record. And, do your own analysis. Watch them and see if you like props. If you're playing props already, that's what I'm playing. Do what you want with them. But that's it. And good luck.